You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show today, LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. Ultimate life, not just good, not even really good, but your ultimate life. Now, you might think it's crazy to talk about things in such superlatives, but let's explore that. Like, you get to decide what ultimate is, right? It isn't subject to some definition outside of you. Well, somebody says your life isn't good enough, so you can't enjoy your ultimate life. Now, that's maybe a small point, but it goes to one of the things that is really important that we miss all the time. We live in a world of 24/7 news and social media and everything telling us how we should feel, telling us whether or not we're good enough, telling us whether or not we have the coolest car, house, this, that, and the other. We live there, and it's all the time pounding on us, and lifestyles of the rich and stupid, or rich and famous, or, you know, whatever it is, stupid and famous. And we look at that, and sometimes you feel that tug on your heart, like maybe you wish you had this, that, and the other. But there's nobody that says you cannot choose to be happy. I had the opportunity to go to a conference, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. I guess it was right before COVID, so I guess it's now 5 years ago. And there was a speaker who used to be an executive vice president at Walmart, and he wrote a book called The Happiness Equation or something like that. And he was talking about being happy, and he said, you know, we were taught forever that this happiness comes from doing hard stuff, working hard, busting your butt, grinding, and then we have stuff. So we do this, and that makes us able to get stuff, buy stuff, and then we can be happy. So it was do, frantic, and then have stuff and be. So have the car, the house, the vacation, the status, et cetera, et cetera. And he did that. He talked about his own time in that sort of treadmill, and he rose to, like I said, an executive position at Walmart and found out that he didn't ever get to the be happy part. So he did his own research and exploration, and he decided, and this was the topic of the talk that I heard him talk and the book, The Happiness Equation, and it is be, he said the equation's backwards. He said it is be, do, have, instead of do, have, be. So let's explore that for a sec. Today, I titled this talk, or this topic today, is about the victim versus the owner. And that I'm talking about how you look at your life. You're a victim of life, or you own your life fiercely. And we're going to talk about that in some detail in a minute. But be, do, have goes on the premise that you can choose to be happy. Now, you may say, well, it's impossible if I don't have this organized, or if my health isn't right, or if I have bill collectors banging on the door. And I'm just going to flat out tell you that's not true. You can think I'm full of crap, and you're fine. That's fine. You're free to do that. And I invite you to get a hold of me and challenge me with your thoughts and thinking. In fact, your invitation right now is to comment on this, share this episode, listen to more episodes of LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. And if you think there's people who want to live that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that aren't, then turn them on to this. Do a favor for them and let them know about this show. So be, do, have is backwards. And it says, I can be anything I want. I can be miserable in the midst of 1,000 boxes of gold bars. I can be angry despite the fact that I have everything I want. So I can be whatever I want despite external circumstances. Well, if I can be unhappy as I sit in the midst of wealth and opulence and stuff that outside looks like you've got it made, then the reverse is also true. And I know the first one's true because I lived there. I had a life that from outside, everybody thought envious. I had a guy who asked me once, how do you get these gigs? And he was talking about different consulting things that I got that were very lucrative and made a lot of money and this and that and the other. What he didn't know, and we had a conversation about how to get them, but what he didn't know is that I was miserable behind the scenes. And I know dozens, if not hundreds of people that feel the same. They achieve success and their heart is empty. They achieve notoriety, and there's no satisfaction. They got cash and cars running out their ears, and they're empty. So if that's true, then I can be happy whether I have something or not. It's demonstrated if you go visit different cultures where you see people in poverty, what we define as total lack, and they're happy. They're happy with each other. They're happy with family relationships. They live with love. And that doesn't mean they don't keenly feel the lack of certain things, but it doesn't affect your happiness. So happiness is an inside job. And we've talked about that in other episodes, but it's a groundwork for today, because we're talking about, our, do you approach things as a victim or an owner? Now, I use this funny background here. This magician was one of the prompts I put in one of the AI platforms to give me this funny picture. And it shows something that's supposed to be a magician making magic stuff happen. And sometimes we treat life like that. We say, well, I can't be happy unless I essentially can wave a magic wand, or I can order life like I want it. Well, first of all, there is the impossibility of that task, because if every person could wave a wand and order life just like they wanted, the world and people and everything else, it wouldn't work, because there'd be enormous conflicts. Gratefully, it doesn't work that way. But it doesn't mean you can't be happy anytime you want. You can choose happiness, regardless of external circumstances. Now, I'm not going to go into a long explanation of how that works and how to do it today on this episode, but it's part of owning your life. Because if I let you piss me off, I've given my power to you. If I let you make me sad, I've given my power to you. If I let someone who betrays me make me angry, you should be, sue them and they should be tarred and feathered and whatever, that kind of vitriolic language, I've given my power away. I want you to think about how important that is, because so many people live from a reactive point of view. I'm happy or sad or excited or bored or based on what's going on around me. My wife, my angel, Joy, wife, says only boring people are bored. And that just reflects the idea that you can be excited, engaged, and happy anytime you want. So let's talk about what is the victim and the owner mindset. And mindset, what is mindset? Mindset's a buzzword in personal development and everything else. But you know what it is. If you've seen a movie where there's a sports team and they're the underdogs, and then the coach comes in and gives them a speech and, gets them pumped up, that speech isn't intended to chastise them or rip their heads off or make them feel bad. It's intended to change the mindset, to go from feeling like we're screwed, we're dead, we're never going to get this done, to we're going to rip it up. We're going to make this happen. And you know as well as I do, you've seen again and again, different sports teams, no matter which sport you follow, have come out the underdogs at halftime or between the first and second periods or whatever it is, and then suddenly show up like they're a different team. What happened? Well, they didn't suddenly have a grand camp of skating or, if it's hockey, or they didn't have that. The only thing that changed is their mindset and their will to win. So the mindset is just a word, but what it means is how I look at things. So if I look at, glass half full, half empty, that's one small example. But if I look at the glass of water and say it's half empty, what I'm seeing is what's missing. If I look at it and I say it's half full, what I'm seeing is what's there. So if I look at my life and I say, look what I have. I have this, I have this, I can do this, here's my opportunity. Then I'm optimistic. I'm looking at the possibilities. I'm grateful for what I have. If on the other hand, I look at my life and I see what's missing in my bank account, what didn't go well, what's broken, then it brings up an entire different feeling in me. And yet I'm the one that has control, 100%, not 90, not 20. I have 100% control over how I look at things, what I choose to focus on, what I choose to allow to influence me. I don't have to, like, we just had a big election in the U.S. and there's all kinds of pundits, you know, blaming this and that and all kinds of vitriol still, even after the election. And you can choose to be involved in that or not. And I live in Canada, so it's funny to watch from across the border. You know, our news up here is about our government and what's going on. And oh, yeah, in the United States, look what they did. And so up here, I mean, I'm U.S. citizen. My wife and I are both dual national. So we voted and we're part of that, too. But it's interesting to be in another country and to watch the helplessness of those who lost and, you know, the feelings of those who won. And it's all just mindset. It's how you choose to view the situation. All right. So this first point, point number one, is for you, me, to understand the power of just changing your mind. Now, I gave some sports analogies. You've seen races in the Olympics where somebody falls down on the track and gets up and not only finishes, but wins. What an impossible thought. Mindset. The body was the same. The mind drove the victory. 80% of our victory and success is up here. The choice that we make about believing in our possibilities. So that's what mindset is. Now, the owner mindset of your life, and that means your physical, your spiritual, your financial, your emotional relationships, you know, your employment, all of it. The owner mindset says, okay, I own my life. I'm the owner. I get to control all the levers. I get to decide how it goes. And when I say that, people mistake it somehow for saying, and in order for that to be true, I have to control everything around me. So I get to control how people talk to me and how much somebody pays me. And I get to control all these externalities. Well, that isn't part of it. An owner mindset means I control how I look at things, how I speak, whether I choose to view things as bad or good or simply that they are neutral. I get to choose all that. And that is a powerful place. A victim mindset, it's the mindset of blame. It's the mindset of externally focusing, right? Somebody else is responsible. Well, it would all be okay if so-and-so would just such and such. That kind of thing. And so the victim mindset and the owner mindset are two distinct and different approaches to your life. Now, we might slip back and forth between them, anywhere in between, depending on what happens. So if you have a wreck, somebody hit you on the freeway, you might immediately be in the victim mindset, rage at how stupid they could be or how careless, or you might be in the victim mindset of someone in your car got injured or, you know, heaven forbid, killed. How could this happen to me? And here's what the victim mindset does. Here's some characteristics of the victim mindset. Helplessness, like I can't control this. All this shit is happening to me. God is, you know, banging on me. The universe is conspiring against me. I'm getting ripped up and ripped off. That's kind of the victim mindset. We blame others or we blame circumstance. Now, we've all lived in that mindset sometimes. The question for you right now, if you want to change it. Now, I'm assuming you're here because you want to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you are happy about every day, that you're stoked, that you love, that you're jumping up and down. You can't wait to get up every day. You might think I'm nuts, but it's possible to live there. I know because I do it. I love every day from the moment I wake up till the moment I go to sleep. And how you get there, that's not today's topic, but it is contained in a book that I wrote called Living with Purpose and Power. Living with Purpose and Power. Say it out loud. Living with Purpose and Power. In that book, I talk about how to create yourself, how to create a set of actions and activities that without fail will put you square in the owner mindset and make you remember and take action as the owner of your life. So another thing about the victim mindset, besides feeling powerless and things happening to us, they're out of control, that kind of thing, and blaming everybody, is that we end up with stress Because when you feel powerless, you're stressed out of your mind. I can't do anything about it. If they would just, it's not fair. And you end up with that heightened level of stress. Well, you know, stress will kill you. Anger kills you. And that's not made up. I read a study. In fact, there's a whole book called Anger Kills. And he wasn't talking about violence. He wasn't talking about anything else. He's talking about what happens in the body when you live with a lot of stress or anger. And he was focused on anger, but stress elicits many of the same neurotransmitters. So he demonstrated that people who live with a lot of anger, blame, stress, that kind of negativity, lose many years of life on average. All other things also considered, years, not a little bit. So if you want to cut 10 years off your life, be a victim. Be a victim mindset. You know, you're free to choose. Now, you may have had a habit of choosing one or the other, but we'll talk about that in a minute, how to get out of there. So stress, lack of personal growth. So maybe you know someone in high school that was had a certain personality. And they acted a certain way and so forth. And at the time, you know, okay, you kind of understand it. They're teenagers and whatever. And then you meet them 20 years later, maybe at your class reunion, and they're exactly the same. No growth, no maturity, no larger understanding has taken place. That personal growth is stagnated. One of the things I love about the whole coaching field, you know, that glib term personal development, it just means a conscious choice to become a more rich, textured, nuanced, mature, capable person. That's what it all is. And it's a choice. You don't have to do any of that. But what I noticed for me is life's a lot more fun. The more PD work, PD push-ups, personal development push-ups I do. Okay, the owner mindset is a different, it's the other end of the spectrum, right? The owner mindset is characterized by taking personal responsibility. I'm responsible for what I say, what I think, how I feel, what I do with how I feel, whether or not I take action, my growth, my circumstances, that's all on me. And someone who has the mindset of personal responsibility, proactivity, empowerment, they tend to be more solution-oriented instead of blaming, how did this happen? How could somebody be so bad or stupid? It's like, okay, what can we do with this? How can we create something from this? That's the mindset of an owner. And jokingly, sometimes I say, what kind of masterpiece can I make from this mess? And I'm not even joking. I'm looking at it and say, okay, this happened. Sure as hell isn't what I wanted, but how do I make a masterpiece out of this mess? What is the magic here in the mud? Okay, and that's the behavior of someone who owns their life and knows they own it and takes that personal responsibility. I look for solutions. You can too. Life, instead of happening to me, is either happening for me or through me. In other words, I'm an active ingredient in the creation. Maybe the only active ingredient. And I'm not suggesting that unexpected or undesired things happen don't happen to people who have the owner mindset. Of course they do. But how we treat them is completely, you know, determines a completely different outcome. And this is the thing I had to learn. I used to live in victim mindset and blame a lot of externalities. In the last 17 years, as I've gone on this personal development journey and become a coach and written books and all that other stuff, I've learned that I am way happier when I take responsibility. I'm way happy when I say, I know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to build from this. So it makes you happier. It's more calm and peaceful. It doesn't depend on anybody else. That's another beautiful thing. When you're blaming everybody else, life seems like such a drudge because all those darn people or the economy or government or God, the universe, they don't cooperate. They're not, you know, ordering themselves like I want. How sad. I found that I don't need that anymore. I am blissfully happy with the controls that I have. It builds resilience, our ability to overcome challenges. It is the key to personal growth, an ownership mindset. And what I've also noted is it's way more fulfilling. In other words, I feel fulfilled, happy, meaningful, like I'm having an impact and making a difference. So if you compare those two side by side, something happens. The victim says, this sucks. this is not right, and they pound and dwell on that. The owner says, oh, wow, this happened. What can I make out of this? What can I create? So that's a side-by-side comparison. This sucks. Why did they do this? Blame and externalization. And this side says, oh, well, that happened. What can I do with this? How can I create with this? What is the opportunity here? Okay. Now, it is not a fixed mindset, is not a fixed thing. So let's say someone close to you dies. The victim mindset would go into mourning, blame God, get furious. Why did this happen? And live there for perhaps months or perhaps years. We know of people whose kid who have had a kid die or a spouse or something, and they never recover, or it takes years. The owner, on the other hand, it's not that they're not sad. They might be in profound grief for a time with memories and all of the things associated with missing someone. And then they say, you know, I'm not going to stay here because then I'm going to be essentially useless. I can't add good to the world. And one of the things that gets said that I think is true is, you know, I can't imagine how I would feel if my wife, my angel, died. And that'll happen some point. But when I look at that, it's just a horrible vacuum. But I also know that if I say to myself, what would she really want me to do? Well, I already know the answer to that question. Not that, not sit around and do nothing. And that's the truth. So then I would do that to honor her, and because that's who I've committed to be, a catalyst for purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, remember, mindset is a choice. We may have a habit on one side or the other. You may have a habit right now of looking at things as a victim, or you may have a habit of looking at things as an owner. Here's your first invitation. Well, a second one, wherever we are. Your invitation here is to check your mindset 10 times a day. Just randomly stop. Am I taking control in this situation? Am I an owner here, or am I a victim? Here are some telltale signs. How am I talking to people? How am I speaking about my life? How am I speaking about my spouse or my significant other? How am I speaking about my job? If I'm a complainer, if I'm bitching about things, I have a victim mindset. Those are telltale signs, feelings of helplessness, feelings of anger and frustration, you know, that go beyond minutes or seconds even. Then you can tell, you know, this is what you've chosen. And if you notice that, I have a little couplet. It's called notice and choose, notice and choose. If we live unaware of the mindset that we're in, so we've adopted a habit of being pissed off about externalities, then the first thing is to notice that. Wow, I'm angry. What am I angry about? Okay, I'm angry about this. Is that something I control? No. Then I choose not to be angry. I choose to ask a different question. So if you're going to switch from victim to owner, and I can tell you it's a beautiful choice to make, and I have done it and had to do it. And it's hard. And it's hard for several reasons. One, victim mindset is the easiest. It's comfortable, it's automatic, and it makes me not have responsibility. It's your freaking problem. You did it. How come you, they, it, whatever. And that means I don't have to do anything. I'm avoiding responsibility. I'm externalizing blame, and I want to go bash something. That's the default, and that's easy. And if I have a habit of doing that, it's going to stay my default until I make a choice and I say, I'm going to change that. I'm no longer going to be a victim. Now, it's not going to happen in a second. And being the victim is a comfortable place. It's become my habit. But then if I notice that, I can then correct it. And this is all internal. I'm mad at so-and-so because of such-and-such. And then if I ask, well, what can I do about that? Well, I don't know. What can you do? Ask more questions. Explore what is possible to create. But the first key is to notice and then choose. Okay? It takes courage and determination to move from victim to owner mindset. I'm not minimizing it or pretending that it isn't hard. That's one of the things I love most about the coaching profession. I get to be with people in their moments of great difficulty. and their moments of great courage. When something is not going like they want, it can be personal or business. People come, I have clients that come and talk about, you know, this month happened to my business. I don't know if I can make payroll. And they're, you know, big panic. Had a client not too long ago where their second in command was trying to, you know, do a hostile takeover of their business and trash them and leave them in the dust. Those are panic moments for a moment. And then the question is, okay, what do I need to do? But taking that on instead of sulking in the corner takes courage and determination. And so that choice to take these challenges head on and go straight at them is a powerful choice, and it takes courage, but it's also rewarding. Another reason the change is hard is because of the great monster fear. And a lot of times it is fear of failure, fear of embarrassment. Simple example, we have an obesity epidemic in the U.S., and it's easy to blame stress, job, circumstance, too much work, you know, kid, spouse, whatever, instead of taking responsibility. And because that's so much easier, I don't have to own it. I don't have to, it's them, it's you. And in order to exercise the courage to make more money, get a better job, lose weight, get in shape, fix a drug problem or a drinking problem, that takes courage. And so know that. And I have found, for me, the best way to do that was to get help. Sometimes the help came in the form of counseling or rehab groups. Often in the last 12 years, it's come in the form of getting a good coach, because rehab or, you know, physical therapy or some of those things are useful when you're broken and you need to get from broken to okay. If you're trying to get from okay to high performance, you don't go to the doctor. You go to a coach, a trainer. You go to somebody who has both the knowledge and the skill, both the technical skill and the skill about encouragement. You notice when I talked about earlier about a coach, you know, pumping their team up at halftime or whatever it is, hockey, there's three periods. So whenever it is, they don't go in there and do skill drills. They don't go in there and talk about any of the skills. It's all up here. Do you believe you can? And that isn't a question that you can answer just once, or at least it wasn't for me. I had to answer it over and over and over again. Every day, do I believe I can? Yes, I do. Yes, I'm committed. Because I said so. It wasn't for an external reward or praise. It's because that's who I've decided I am. So let's talk about some practices, some activities that you can do to cultivate and to build this owner mindset where you own your life. One is awareness, self-awareness, meditation. It's, you know, a word, or self-awareness, that kind of thing. But it's really simple. It is simply stopping to become aware of what you're thinking. Life goes by so fast, we live in reactive mode and we actually don't identify. So if you stop and say, what am I feeling right now? And if the answer is frustration, anger, you're in a victim mindset. You're blaming. If the answer is creativity, even if there's a challenge, I'm feeling creativity, I'm feeling possibility. You know, those kinds of feelings are reflective of owning. I own this situation. I don't care where it's starting. It sucks, but that's fine. I'm starting from a place of I own this and I can do something with it. So become aware, and that's a habit. I call it notice and choose. Notice means just develop a practice. I have a client who sets an alarm every 15 minutes. And when the alarm goes off, it's really simple. What am I feeling right now? Am I operating from my highest potential? Or am I operating from something lower in the victim range? All right. Another thing that you can do is to reframe challenges. So let's just talk about a picture. You might have a picture on the wall and it's in a plain metal frame with a small, you know, band around it, a mat or something. And you go, that's kind of boring and stupid. If you reframe it, put it in a nice wood frame, different color mat, maybe a dual mat. And all of a sudden, the same old picture comes to life. Now, that's a simple example about what reframing is. I had a conversation on the way home from that event I was at this last weekend with a person who sells things. And they were talking about the challenges about staying engaged in the selling process. You know, they make calls. They're not cold calls, but lukewarm and warm calls to talk to people about a particular product or service. And the mindset that he was having was, when I don't get a sale, he had a certain number per day that he wanted, I feel like a failure. And I'm, you know, I'm angry, frustrated, deflated, and so forth. So we're blaming, I suck because they didn't buy. So my reframing was, what would happen if you simply went into each conversation and said, I'm going to find a way to help this person to make their life better, solve a problem, or help them in some way, instead of just focusing on the sale? And if they don't buy, it isn't anything. It is, they didn't buy today. They didn't see the value. Instead, reframe, did I help them? Did I lift them? Did I leave them better off than when I found them? Now, obviously, since they're warm leads, they're going to be having a conversation in the direction of or about the very problem or situation that you solve. So it isn't that you avoid the sales conversation. Indeed, you make that the focus of the sales conversation. And here's what I know about filling my coaching practice. When I forget about selling things and I just go at the service, how can I help you? What are you trying to do? What's in the way? What have you tried before? Why haven't you got it already, do you think? What do you think would help you most? You know, when I help someone walk through, not that fast, but a slow, thoughtful conversation about those questions, I can offer some real help. And then what is that? Their experience is, wow, this is good. Can I have more? And then the sale is a request and it's easy. So reframe challenges. One reframe was, instead of being angry at things, ask, you know, what can I create out of this? That's another reframing example we talked about earlier. Another tool is to have a declaration about how you view your life. So mine, I have a long document. I've talked about it before, called a PTAC, a personal truth and commitment document, and it defines who I am in the universe. And it's not written for anybody else, nobody's approval, no one's agreement. This is who I am. And one of them says, I am at cause. I create my being and call into existence every part of my experience. I am at cause. I create my being. Now, I'm not suggesting that I have the magic or wisdom to create a spiritual entity that has consciousness. But how I react, how I'm being in the world, my viewpoint, my stance, how I look at things, that I create. And so do you. Every minute, I create that by what I choose to look at. Frustrated at circumstance, angry at others, victim mindset, or owner. So I remind myself of that every day, and it's part of my morning routine, and it's powerful, and it's beautiful. It makes me feel good to remind myself I'm at cause, in the matter of my life. I'm at cause. I create my being, not anything else, and I call into existence every part of my experience. And again, that's not externalities, but that externality is what it is, but I get to filter everything and decide how I choose to take it in. So that kind of thing is super powerful. And if you want to know more about that book that I mentioned earlier, Living with Purpose and Power, will teach you all about that, about how to create those kinds of declarations in a way that is powerful, liberating, and invincible in terms of creating your life. Another thing that is different than the victim and owner mindset is, you're going to have days that suck. You're going to have externalities that get in the way and prevent you from making the progress you thought you were going to make any given day. That's just going to happen. On those days, you can simply decide ahead of time, when I'm hindered or prevented from accomplishing what I want, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a tiny action. If I'm going to go for a run and I can't stand the thought of that because I wake up tired, I can say, well, I'll worry about that later. Right now, I'm just going to put my shoes on. Right now, I'm just going to wash my face. For me, it's right now I'm going to put my contact lenses in because I'm blind without them. And then I can say, well, right now, I'm just going to walk to the front door. And maybe I can't run, but I'm just going to put my jacket on and take a short walk. And sure enough, a series of small actions provides the energy and leverage to take big ones. It does. And it's not fooling yourself because it actually feels that way. You go out, you start walking, you say, you know, this isn't so bad. Maybe I'll just run a little bit. And then you go ahead and pretty soon, the minute you're doing it, it's like, ah, this isn't so bad. What was I so worried about? Right? I'm sure you've done that. So that's another one. And the final one is a real obvious one, especially in the coaching world, and that is accountability. Accountability is the opportunity to make commitments to someone and then meet regularly to give an accounting of what you've done. So a big piece of coaching when I meet with people is to ask them about what they committed. When I meet with them, we're working toward a goal. They've stated their goals at the beginning of our coaching relationship and renewed them as required every 60 or 90 days or every year, depending on how long the engagement is. But in the coaching world, as sports, you review your last games. So when I meet with clients, I review their progress. What did you do? What worked? What didn't work? Why didn't it work? If you didn't do it, why not? What's in the way? Sometimes there's an externality in the way. And often, I would say most often, it's head trash. So some head trash got in my way. I can't, I'll fail, it won't work, somebody won't like me, et cetera, et cetera. So eliminating that is a powerful opportunity, accountability in coaching. So here are some things you can do. And I use the word fierce because it conveys a sense of not anger, but really focused. Like if you take fierce ownership, I, under no circumstances, will let you make me mad or anything else. I won't. I control those things. I'm taking ownership here, baby. You know, that's the expression of fierce ownership of my own life. I refuse to abdicate my life, my feelings, my success to anyone or anything else. Okay. So now, at any point, if you want to know more, there's a URL to go to, and it's www.kellenflukigermedia.com. There's a page that's got several books, my podcast links, social links, and other things, and also a way to communicate with me if you want to have a chat. So at any point here, if you're thinking, dang, I could use some help with that. I could use some more conversation about how to do that thing. I'm open. This is an invitation. Okay, so here are some things that I do, and I do a form of them. My form is different than yours. One is a reflection journal. It's journaling, essentially, but all it is really is making a note of situations that happened and how you responded. This happened. This is what I did. And then you can look at it and say, was that effective? Do I want to do something else? It's just an extension of the notice and choose. So you take a look at what has happened and you say, how did I handle it? And see if there's a thing to change or adjust, either mindset or external action. Maybe you did something you need to go clean up. So you write down, this is what happened. This is what I did. Holy crap, I got to go clean that up. Then do it. It takes a weight off your heart. Another thing is creating a clear, crystal clear vision about where you want to be. It can be in 90 days. It can be in 20 years. But it's not a vague vision. If you're looking for more money or you want to upgrade where you live or what you own, then it needs to be clear, absolute, with details, with feelings, and with reasons. I want a bigger house. No, I want a house that has this many square feet, this many rooms, this high of ceiling, sitting on this much property. And the reason I want that is because I'm going to hold events there. Or me, if it were me, I have a recording studio I need to have at least 1,200 square feet for. And I need this and I need this. So I know exactly what I'm looking for. And I have the description in living color. That kind of vision is far more powerful than a mundane or vision without details. So creating a vision is a big tool to create ownership. If you don't have a vision, it's like, what's the point? If you have a powerful vision about where you're going to be in a year, and I do, you know, I have a goal that ends October 14th of this coming year, 2025. And that goal is to reach 300 million people, not just with the message of how capable you are, but then also to give you the tools. As I teach here, as I've written in books and programs that I have, as I teach tools that I know work to take ownership and to create the outcomes you want. So vision is possible, you know, the message of what's possible, the tools, and then my coaching programs provide the accountability, the encouragement, and support. So it's not just talking about a beautiful thing out there. It is, here are the tools to build the road, the ramp, the path, and here is a framework of accountability to get it done. Because my goal isn't just to spread a happy face message. It's to get people to take action, to do the thing that is in your heart to do, to make a big contribution, get well paid, and live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Another thing that you can do, the last one that I want to talk about today, is talk about, think, I want you to think right now of a circumstance where you didn't take responsibility, where you blamed others, and you took satisfaction in blaming them others. Not my fault, et cetera, like that. Now reframe that and say, ask yourself this question. How can I take control? How can I take full responsibility? That doesn't mean making anyone do anything, but it means examining your participation in it and your actions and your attitude and see, do I have some cleanup here? Are there things that I could and really wish were cleaned up? And then ginning up the courage to go take action and have the conversations you need to. And that's especially important if you've got things that are hanging over you that feel scary, grumpy, that you regret or resent, or where there's residual anger. That's really important. Now, let me talk about some benefits here. So I've talked about how come, you know, the owner mindset is way more powerful. Look, if you're a creator, you can create whatever you want, but you can't create it without ownership. So if you want to write a book, I'm writing another book. I want to write a book. So I take ownership. I know how to create a process. If I need help, I go get it. People hire me to help coach them through a book process. I hire other coaches to help me. I've got a vocal coach that I've worked with for years to work on singing and performance and that kind of thing. So I go get the help I need because my commitment is to excellence. My commitment is to be a rip-roaring performer. And I made staggering progress. I'm really excited, but I still stay involved in the coaching process to develop my skills and deliver a message. Now, here's what I know about you. I know you're a divine being. You came from the same God I did. I know you have gifts and talents, and I know that you have a yearning in your heart to help people, to add good to the world, to make a difference. I know you would love to get paid for what you love to do. I'm the poster child for that. I know you can because I do. And I've helped many others do the same, and I can help you. But whether you use my help or not, don't settle for mediocrity. You can have the life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, and excitement you want every day. You might think, oh, that's impossible. No, it's not. It's not impossible. It's within your grasp. And the key is that you're the only one that can do it. Nobody can make you live that ultimate life. Nobody can make you happy any more than they can make you mad or anything else. So I want to invite you to do that. Take ownership a little at a time. I invite you to get in contact with me. I invite you to go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com. I invite you to read the book Living with Purpose and Power, all the books that I've written about different topics, from forgiveness to fear to creating big results in business and so forth. All those books are from my own experience. None of them are some academic thing talking about that thing over there. They're battle-tested, and I share them as much as I can because they've made me so happy and feel so useful and fulfilled, and I know they will help you also. So here's another benefit of fierce ownership. You're going to have better relationships. Your love life's going to be better. Your sex life's going to be better. Your relationship with your kids is going to be better. Your relationships at work are going to be better. Because you, when we lose the feeling of being a victim, we're at the mercy of other things. That victim thing creates resentment and negativity. It just does. When you own your life and you take responsibility for how you act and responsibility for creating the state and nature of your relationship, all the way with your relationship with God, with yourself, with your partner, you're going to be surprised. It'll blow your mind about how much control you have. You think you don't. Well, they're half this relationship. A person who is committed to declaring and living into a life of ownership has so much control. You control everything about how you feel, but you influence so much about your partners, business partners, and life partners. And you can't argue with me until you've really tried. And if you'd like help, get a hold of me. I'm not hard to find. The last thing is that the benefit is the fulfillment that you feel. You move clear away from this sort of blame game and anger and frustration. You've moved to a place of complete joy because you're in complete control. Now, I want to share a real life inspiring experiences. I have a client that I've had for many years. In the beginning of our client coach relationship, they owned a single business and they had a lot of frustration and negativity in their lives. They were struggling with depression, a lot of self-worth feelings. As the years have gone by working together, they have gone from owning one business to multiple businesses. They've gone from feeling they were worthless and not very valuable to being the owner of businesses that employ many, are set for a 9-figure buyout here pretty quick, hundreds of millions of dollars. So they've created real wealth, real prosperity, and a sense of accomplishment and joy. There was no magic involved. It was the strict application of these principles, noticing and choosing, setting clear goals, not only financially, but spiritually, energetically. Who am I going to be in the world? And that's one example. And the other one is my own life, coming from where I did in 2007 to today. You know, the transformation is nothing short of amazing. And I'm not going to take time to tell that story right now, but it is written in another book called Tightrope of Depression. My journey from darkness, despair, and death to life, love, and light. So here's my call to action to you today. Don't just hear this and do nothing. Don't sit on your butt and wait for some externality. Don't wait for New Year's. Don't wait for some thing to happen. People go to conferences and read books all the time and hear rah-rah speeches, and this could be just another one of those. And exactly nothing will change for you unless you say, you know what, I've heard this a million times. This millionth time is going to be the time I take action. Then pick one specific thing to do. Not, I'm going to change everything all at once. That's overwhelming. Pick one specific thing to do and do it 5% better tomorrow. 5% better tomorrow, whatever it is. How you think, how you talk to somebody, how you treat someone in a relationship, how diligent you are at work, how many sales calls you make, whatever it is where you can take control and you choose to take control of your life instead of blaming other things, the economy or others' behaviors or, you know, partners, that kind of thing. So your challenge is to decide right now, thump your fist, I'm going to take ownership of my life. I don't care if you've been victiming for a long time. It doesn't matter. The moment to change is now. The amount to change is just a few percent every day. If you changed 1% a day, in 90 days, you're almost 100%. So those 90 days are going by either way. Don't let your life pass by. Don't sit there and be a spectator with blame and anger, because life didn't order itself the way you wanted. It isn't going to. And you know what? No one is coming to fix it for you. The good news is you have all the control. The other good news is you're the only one that has control. The bad news, if there is anyone, any bad news, is nobody's coming. No one's coming. And those who live in the expectation of a rescue eventually are disappointed and end up you know, helpless in the corner. So you decide, I choose ownership. I choose ownership for my life. I'm inviting you to do the same. I control my life no matter what happens around me. I am at cause. Now, you can use your own language, and I encourage you to, but use language that matters to you. Take ownership. Reach out and let's talk if you'd like. Connect with me on social. Share this show with others who will be benefited from taking that ownership, declaring to start from happiness, and moving forward boldly and clearly, starting now to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.